the giant of sin in our lives, some type of sin, and you're having trouble finding victory. Maybe it's worry or fear or lust or greed or pride. Maybe you struggle with anger or gossip or compromise. You're battling a giant and you're struggling. We all face giants. Boy Scout troop, 6 kids, up against some giants. And they did very well. We all have giants in our lives in one form or another. A giant is anything that stands between you and God's plan for you. Anything that's running interference. Anything that's keeping you from following God's plan. A giant is anything that hinders you from walking faithfully with God. A giant is anything that creates in you doubt or fear. Anything that paralyzes you from doing what God has called you to do. A giant is anything that gets your eyes off of God and onto whatever it is. Whatever the circumstance or problem or temptation or trial happens to be. There are giants in the land. In your land and mine. How do you deal with your giants? What strategy of attack do you have? A guy described an experience from his childhood. He said, "There used to be this bully who would demand my lunch money every day. Since I was smaller, naturally, I'd give it to him. It was that or get beat up. Then one day I decided to fight back, but I came up with a game plan. I started taking karate lessons. I was going to learn how to defend myself, and then that bully would leave me alone. But then the karate lesson guy said I had to start paying him $5 a lesson. So I just went back to paying the bully." Sometimes it just seems easier, doesn't it, to pay the bully than to learn how to defeat him? Not David. David ran into a bully, and there was no way this bully was going to win. There are several important lessons we can learn from David about how to slay the giants in our lives. And by slaying the giants, I'm not at all trying to say or imply that if you do this right, then all your health concerns will go away. Or all your financial worries will be solved. Or that difficult relationship will just smooth itself out from here on out. Or that sin won't ever bother you again. Or that you'll have no problem praying or digging into the Word or witnessing or getting involved in some ministry. Whatever. That's not what I mean by that. I'm not saying that all those things will automatically go away. What I am saying is that in every single one of those areas, God wants to lead us to victory. We live in a fallen world. And we're going to deal with trials and tribulations, temptations, until Jesus takes us home. But God promises victory over those giants if we will trust Him and surrender to Him. And the example of David, we find some wonderful keys for how that victory can be ours. So you plug in whatever giant you're dealing with in your life and see if these lessons from the life of David don't help. I think they will. This morning we get to look at the most famous battle in all the Old Testament. And it was just between two people, David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17 stands as a marvelous example of somebody who dared to trust God. Someone who dared to venture into unsafe territory because he knew that God was with him. People like that are able to deal with fearful and overwhelming circumstances and to do so with great boldness and courage. While others are paralyzed by the fear of the situation, David was able to step forward and take action. From him this morning, we can learn how to face the giants in our lives and not let them cripple us in living for God and making a difference in our world. We read the opening verses of this amazing story. The army of the Philistines and the army of the Israelites have gathered for battle. They are standing on opposite sides of a great valley. And verse 4 says, "Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Goliath, the giant. A cubit is the distance from your elbow to the tip of your finger. On average, that's 18 inches, so 6 cubits is 9 feet. A span is the measure of your hand from your thumb to this finger. That's on average 9 inches. He was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Goliath was huge. What a basketball career that guy could have had. On his tiptoes, he would be looking down at the rim. Oh, but not to be. Instead, we find him taunting the Israelites and their God. Verse 8, it says, "Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Look at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That's what our giants do. They taunt us. They shout across the valley and say, "You're nothing. You can't do it. The God that you supposedly serve isn't really there. You're going to fail." And fear takes hold. Back in the days of the Roman Empire, in the Colosseum, a Christian was thrown to a hungry lion. As the spectators cheered, the wild beast pounced. But the Christian quickly whispered something into the lion's ear, and the beast backed away in fear. That happened several times, and so the emperor sent a centurion into the arena to find out what magic spell could possibly make a ferocious lion cower in fear. A few minutes later, the centurion came back with his report and said, "The Christian whispered into the lion's ear, 'After dinner, you're going to be required to say a few words.'" Fear. Crippling, debilitating fear. Is that giant in your life taunting you? Are you cowering in fear? The Israelites did. Out of the entire army of Israel, veteran soldiers, brave men tested in battle, not one individual volunteered. Not one. For 40 days, verse 16 tells us, this giant would walk down into the valley and taunt the armies of Israel, challenging them to bring forth a warrior to do battle. And for 40 days, not a single person was willing to go. Would you? I mean, you're not going to volunteer to go out there and get yourself squashed. It's much safer on the sidelines. It's much safer as a spectator, an observer, watching from a distance. If we're going to overcome our giants, the first lesson is right here. We can't give in to threats and fear. If our eyes are on the giant, we're going to be trembling. But if our eyes are on the living God, there's nothing we can't conquer. You face a very real giant. But don't give in to threats and fear. At this point in the story, David enters the picture. Three of David's older brothers are in the army. They're out there in battle. And David is still tending sheep. I find that interesting. Because see, in the last chapter, you'll recall, Samuel had anointed David as the one chosen by God to be the next king. And yet, what is David doing? He's off tending sheep, just as his father had asked him to do. And the lesson is, obey in the small things. Moses was called of God to lead the nation and to face Pharaoh himself. Where did he learn to do that? Tending sheep on the backside of a desert. For 40 years, he tended sheep. And God prepared the man. Obey in the small things. David's time would come. But in the meantime, he needed to simply obey his father. Being faithful in little things means someday being entrusted with big things. Samuel, God's prophet, had anointed this kid. But he could be found doing whatever menial task his father had for him to do. But then, Jesse gives David a new task. go take some supplies to his brothers in the army and check on how they're doing. And David's delighted. He can't wait. He finally gets a chance to go see his brothers and their friends in the battle. He gets to watch the army go in and out in battle array and shout the war cry and engage the enemy. Verse 20. So David arose in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Again, we see David being faithful in the small things. He was sent on an errand. Take some food. Check on your brothers. And that's what David did. If you're going to be given the opportunity to handle much, you have to show yourself faithful in handling a little. Well, now things start to get really interesting in the story. David went to meet his brothers on the battle line, and verse 23 says, as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. And David heard them. The rest of the Israelites? Verse 24, when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. And this is key. Goliath comes out with his taunts, and David hears them. The men of Israel saw Goliath and fled, paralyzed with fear. They could do nothing. Their fear held them captive. What did David hear? He heard the words that Goliath spoke. Sure, he saw the man, just like everybody else did. You couldn't avoid that. But it's important to note that David heard what he said. What does verse 24 say? Israel saw the man and fled. They heard nothing that he said. All they saw was the exterior, the size. David looked beyond the physical stature of the man and heard his words. Throughout this whole chapter, Israel is absolutely encased with fear. David has none. What does David have? Anger. Righteous indignation. Why? Because the words Goliath spoke were an offense to God. They mocked God. Those words taunted God. And David got upset. For 40 days, the men of Israel had seen this giant come forth and issue this challenge and make his threats. And all they could do was run away and hide. David heard the giant one time, and that was enough. This was an offense to God, and David wouldn't allow it to continue. So what this giant looked like didn't matter to him. Nearly 10 feet tall, fully armored and dressed for battle, it didn't matter. The words he spoke were so offensive that David had to take action. You don't let someone talk about the one true God like that. Have you seen this man who's coming up? David, he's huge. He's bigger than huge. He's massive. They had a completely wrong perspective, and they trembled in fear. Not David. David's concern was for the integrity and honor of his God. 10 years ago, back in the summer of 2000, we went on our first mission trip as a church to Guatemala City. Great trip, great experience. We worked at CAM's seminary, Seteca. We worked with the Sewolkas and the Martinsons. If you went on that trip, you remember those people with fond affection. They were very dear. We've taken a mission trip nearly every year since then. Not entirely, but almost. Gone to Venezuela twice. Gone to Oaxaca, Mexico to work at the orphanage there. Hungary, France, and this year to Portugal. These trips started out as youth mission trips, and then they kind of expanded to include the whole church, to be church-wide. But, of course, we love for the youth to go, and that's exciting for us, and we want that participation very much. But I love how there's a real passion for missions at CBC and a desire for direct, personal involvement in mission work. We don't just send money, as important as that is. We don't just pray, as important as that is. We go. We go to minister the gospel. We go to be a blessing and a help to our missionaries. and we go to build a greater vision for reaching the world. There may be somebody here at CBC who someday is inspired and led of God, called of God, to go into full-time missions because of their exposure to missions on one of those trips. I remember when I was a youth pastor in North Carolina and planning our first mission trip for the youth there. We were making plans to go to some needy place in Mexico. The youth were all excited, and it looked like just a life-changing experience that was awaiting us. Well, we were at somebody's house for a meeting with the parents one evening, and the very clear sentiment of those parents was, "You're not taking my child out of the country. missions is all right for somebody else's kid, for some other people, but you're not taking my child." And we didn't go. They wouldn't let us go. It all comes down to perspective. Those parents missed out on a real opportunity to see their teens develop a heart for the world by having firsthand exposure to a field that was ripe for harvest. I hope those kids learn something about missions some other way, but that would have been a great trip. For those parents, an overseas mission trip was too big of a giant. Their eyes were on the giant and not on God. Thank you for letting your teens go to various locations far from home to see what God is doing and to be a part of that. Thank you for going yourself and being a part of God's great cause to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's all a matter of perspective. Israel saw the man. David heard the words. They fled. David faced the giant. So think back to that giant in your life that we were talking about earlier. Finances, health, a relationship struggle with marriage, kids, parents, a boss, a neighbor. Or maybe the direction of our country, or struggling to be faithful in some spiritual discipline, or struggling in some area of sin. Some giant. It comes down to your perspective. Is your focus on the giant? On the problem, on the situation? Or is your focus on God? If your response is fear and worry, or doubt, maybe even despair, then your focus is on the problem, the giant. But if we turn our eyes upon Jesus, if we will focus on the supremacy and the sufficiency of our God, then that giant will fall. Any giant will fall because God is able. More than able. We're going to take a break here and finish up this wonderful story next week. It's just beginning to get to the good part. A little kid with 5 smooth stones and a slingshot takes on a mighty giant in full armor with a nation's future hanging in the balance. It's amazing stuff. But think about this issue of perspective. What is your focus on? Is it on the problem, the giant? Or is it on God who is able? It makes all the difference. In New York City, if you visit the GE building where NBC Studios is located, the building which has the address 30 Rockefeller Center, and thus is the place which the TV show 30 Rock is based. Outside the front of that building, you will see a gigantic statue of Atlas. It's a statue of a perfectly proportioned man who, with all of his muscles bulging, is holding this massive world in his hands above his head. And he's straining and struggling, the most powerfully built man in all the world, and he's barely able to stand up, struggling under the weight of carrying the world on his shoulders. If you walk across the street on the other side of Fifth Avenue, you'll come to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And if you walk inside and go around the back side of the altar, there's a little statue of Jesus as a boy, maybe 9 or 10 years old. And in that statue, with no effort, he's holding the world in his hands. 2 entirely different messages. Let me ask you, who are you relying on to defeat your giant? Who are you counting on to carry your burdens, health, finances, relationships, struggle with sin, whatever? You can strain and struggle under the weight of all that, trying to carry it all by yourself in your own effort, struggling and faltering under the burden Or you can turn your burdens over to Jesus, who carries them with ease. Jesus is the true giant slayer. He holds the world in His hands. Would you pray with me? Father, we do face giants. We do. Every one of us, one way or another, we face giants. And we watch the life of David and we're just amazed. Amazed at his courage, amazed at his faith, amazed at his passion to defend your honor and integrity. Our giants are all sorts of things, Father. And they tend to hit us when we least expect it. We didn't plan to get sick. We didn't plan on losing our job. We didn't plan on having that relationship disintegrate. Things happen. Life happens. There are giants in our land. And Father, we ask that you would help us to maintain a perspective that says that above all, you are Lord. Above all, you reign supreme. Above all, you are the sovereign God who holds the world in your hand. That nothing takes you by surprise. Nothing jeopardizes your lordship, you reigning on your throne, and that every giant can be conquered by you. For you are able. You are more than able. So help us, Father, to turn our eyes off of the giant and his taunts, and to turn fully to you and rest in you, because you hold the world in your hand. And to that end, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together.